and the image was man's image. I passionately resented what Don Juan was saying. I rebelled against his blasphemous, sacrilegious words. I wanted to tell him off, but I couldn't break the binding power of my seeing. I was caught in it. Don Juan seemed to know exactly how I felt and what I wanted to tell him.
"You can't tell the Nagual off," he said in my ear. "It is the Nagual who's enabling you to see. It is the Nagual's technique, the Nagual's power. The Nagual is the guide."
It was at that point that I realized something about the voice in my ear. It was not Don Juan's, although it sounded very much like his voice. Also, the voice was right. The instigator of that seeing was the Nagual Juan Matus. It was his technique and his power that was making me see God. He said it was not God, but the mold of man. I knew that he was right, yet I could not admit that. Not out of annoyance or stubbornness, but simply out of a sense of ultimate loyalty to and love for the divinity that was in front of me. As I gazed into the light with all the passion I was capable of, the light seemed to condense, and I saw a man. A shiny man that exuded charisma, love, understanding, sincerity, truth. A man that was the sum total of all that is good. The fervor I felt on seeing that man was well beyond anything I had ever felt in my life. I did fall on my knees. I wanted to worship God personified, but Don Juan intervened and whacked me on my left upper chest, close to my clavicle, and I lost sight of God. I was left with a tantalizing feeling, a mixture of remorse, elation, certainties, and doubts. Don Juan made fun of me. He called me pious and careless and said I would make a great priest. Now I could even pass for a spiritual leader who had had a chance seeing of God. He urged me in a jocular way to start preaching and describe what I had seen to everyone. In a very casual but seemingly interested manner, he made a statement that was part question, part assertion.
"And the man?" he asked. "You can't forget that God is a male."
The immensity of something indefinable began to dawn on me as I entered into a state of great clarity.
"Very cozy, eh?" Don Juan added, smiling. "God is a male. What a relief!"
After recounting to Don Juan what I had remembered, I asked him about something that had just struck me as being terribly odd. To see the mold of man, I had obviously gone through a shift of my assemblage point. The recollection of the feelings and realizations I had had then was so vivid that it gave me a sense of utter futility. Everything I had done and felt at that time, I was feeling now. I asked him how it was possible that, having had such a clear comprehension, I would have forgotten it so completely. It was as if nothing of what had happened to me had mattered, for I always had to start from point one, regardless of how much I might have advanced in the past.
"That's only an emotional impression," he said. "A total misapprehension. Whatever you did years ago is solidly enclosed in some unused emanations. That day when I made you see the mold of man, for instance, I had a true misapprehension myself. I thought that if you saw it, you would be able to understand it. It was a true misunderstanding on my part."
Don Juan explained that he had always regarded himself as being very slow to understand. He had never had any chance of testing his belief because he did not have a point of reference. When I came along and he became a teacher, which was something totally new to him, he realized that there is no way to speed up understanding and that to dislodge the assemblage point is not enough. He had thought that it would be sufficient. Soon he became aware that since the assemblage point normally shifts during dreams, sometimes to extraordinarily distant positions, whenever we undergo an induced shift, we are all experts at immediately compensating for it. We rebalance ourselves constantly, and activity goes on as if nothing has happened to us. He remarked that the value of the new seer's conclusions does not become evident until one tries to move someone else's assemblage point. The new seers said that what counts in this respect is the effort to reinforce the stability of the assemblage point in its new position. They considered this to be the only teaching procedure worth discussing, and they knew that it is a long process that has to be carried out little by little at a snail's pace. Don Juan said then that he had used power plants at the beginning of my apprenticeship in accordance with the recommendation of the new seers. They knew, by experience and by seeing, that power plants shake the assemblage point way out of its normal setting. The effect of power plants on the assemblage point is in principle very much like that of dreams. Dreams make it move, but power plants manage the shift on a greater and more engulfing scale. A teacher then uses the disorienting effects of such a shift to reinforce the notion that the perception of the world is never final. I remembered then that I had seen the mold of man 5 more times over the years. With each new time, I had become less passionate about it. I could never get over the fact, however, that I always saw God as a male. At the end, it stopped being God for me and became the mold of man, not because of what Don Juan had said, but because the position of a male God became untenable. I could then understand Don Juan's statements about it. They had not been blasphemous or sacrilegious in the least. He had not made them from within the context of the daily world. He was right in saying that the new seers have an edge in being capable of seeing the mold of man as often as they want, but what was more important to me was that they had sobriety in order to examine what they saw. I asked him why it was that I always saw the mold of man as a male. He said that it was because my assemblage point did not have the stability then to remain completely glued to its new position and shifted laterally in man's band. It was the same case as seeing the barrier of perception as a wall of fog. What made the assemblage point move laterally was a nearly unavoidable desire or necessity to render the incomprehensible in terms of what is most familiar to us. A barrier is a wall, and the mold of man cannot be anything else but a man. He thought that if I were a woman, I would see the mold as a woman. Don Juan stood up then and said that it was time for us to take a stroll in town, that I should see